too much to ask.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Orient Hour on Phoenix 98 FM. I'm Glenn Wilkie, and in the studio we have Stuart Minchin.
Evening, Hi, Glenn. Evening. Yes, mate. You all right? Yeah, good.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Good. I've seen we've got a late change to our starting lineup tonight as Mr. Barry Lakin picked up an injury, I believe, before we've got on air tonight.
Indeed, yeah. So we welcome Lee Boyce.
We've got Lee Boyce, exactly. He'll be joining us shortly. I understand Barry Lakin picked up a knock last night to his vocal cords from shouting at the referee during the Crawley game. So he's out of action for tonight.
Yeah, I think back next week maybe, if he's fit.
If selected.
And if selected, yeah, definitely. He might be in the stiffs for a bit.
Exactly. Well, let's run through what we've got in store for tonight. We're going to discuss obviously the last two games since we've been on air. We'll go through that. We've got lots to discuss with them. We're going to discuss the new players, how they've settled in, how they did last night. We're going to discuss formations, tactics. We're even going to question the manager. Is he doing okay so far this season? But before all that, we're going to hear from Dave Victor and Matt from last night's game.
Well, Matt, it was a hard-fought goalless draw at Crawley. I think for the stats, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has. December 19, I understand. The last time the O's achieved a 0-0 draw against Bradford. But it was a real gutsy performance, wasn't it? And I, after going down to 10 men, I have to say, when you call things wrong, you have to call yourself out. And I thought on the commentary, it was a yellow card. But I've been told since it was definitely a red and we can have no complaints. But no, the players were fantastic tonight. Showed a real great attitude. They stayed organised. They made life difficult for Crawley. And when you look at the overall 90 minutes, you have to say it was Glenn Morris who had the most important saves to make, and they were two good saves as well.
I thought the second half and the way the O's responded from going down to 10 men was spectacular, not least because of the performance from the new boys. Let's start with Nick Freeman.
Yeah, Nick Freeman, first we've had a real chance to see him tonight. Of course, he's come on as a substitute in his first two O's appearances off the bench, but difficult circumstances. Tonight he started the game. I thought he started the game well. He put himself about. The fact he can carry the ball for the O's is an impressive attribute to have. And particularly tonight, he just kept on working hard. I was really impressed with his performance.
Adam Thompson, he seemed to enjoy it, didn't he?
Yeah, interesting signing for the O's, that one. And one you feel, which I think at this moment in time, you look at it and you're looking at the other players, but he could be an influential player in the next 18 months for the O's. You can give them a little bit more solidity at the back. And he showed it tonight, didn't he? Winning those aerial battles, a physical presence, and stayed strong throughout.
Jordan Maguire-Drew is here, and I think he's here because he doesn't defend as well as Dan Kemp showed he can tonight.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, Jordan Maguire-Drew is here for a reason. Clearly, he's on loan. It'd be difficult to disrespect the player whilst he's still an Orient player. But the fact that he's here at the moment, Orient have made changes in the window. I think they've done that because they feel they've got a stronger squad than they did before. Dan Kemp in particular, I think the fact he's got a 2.5 year contract is clearly one that the O's feel they've got confidence in the long run.
He defended so well tonight, didn't he? So too did Tristan Abrahams.
Yeah, it's good for Tristan. Of course, difficult circumstances to come on after young Raul Sotiriou had to leave the pitch, and it looked a nasty injury as well. But he worked hard. Again, a different type of player. A player who's come from a League Two club, someone we know a lot about. But he just seems to have matured somewhat in terms of the fact his intelligence on the pitch, his work rate, and he's filled out a bit as well. He's a physical presence.
It was a point that came at a price. Sotiriou was playing really well until he picked up that hamstring injury.
Yeah, it's a real shame for him, isn't it, having got his opportunity to have to leave. And we understand it's a hamstring injury, nasty one as well, which is clearly going to rule him out for a number of weeks. You have to wait for the diagnosis, of course, in the next coming days. But the way he left the pitch, he looked in real discomfort.
It was a much better performance than Saturday at Bolton.
Yeah, it was. That was a disappointing afternoon, wasn't it? And, of course, you were looking for a response. I think when it got to 4:45 on Saturday, the first thing you were thinking about was the O's needed a response here tonight, and they got it. Started, of course, with a penalty, which was blazed against the crossbar, but Orient grew into the game. They got stronger, and for me they created the better opportunities. Exceptional work rate in the second half, and you come away here delighted with the point.
Transfer deadline day was a busy one, particularly in League Two. There were some standout signings, weren't there?
Well, for me, Bolton was the interesting one. You look at the two acquisitions they made, Marcus Madison coming in on loan from Charlton, and Adelapo Afellayan from West Ham United. Again, he's an impressive player who scored for them in the FA Cup a few weeks ago. But for me, two interesting signings. Newport as well. It was great disappointment when Tristan Abrahams was reported to be coming to the O's on loan from the County Fans. But when they saw Nicky Maynard coming in their direction, their eyes lit up. That's an interesting one. And again, Tranmere, David Nugent. Tranmere are on a good run at the moment, and they've invested with the acquisition of Nugent till the end of the season. His experience could be absolutely crucial.
It's Colchester on Saturday, and they're also busy transfer deadline day.
They were. I think they're looking at the opposite direction in the fact that they're actually having to remove players from the wage bill, but they've brought back Frank Nublai again, a player from Plymouth and a player we know a lot about. He's a physical encounter, and I'm sure that will prove to be the case on Saturday afternoon.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Matt.
Well, there we go. That was Matt Hiscock and Dave Victor following last night's draw at Crawley Town, which thank you very much for them for recording that for us. I just want to say, Lee, are you there, Lee Boyce?
I am, Glenn. Hello.
Yeah, I am, mate. Hope you're well, mate. Are you all settled in the studio?
Yeah, all comfortable, mate.
Very good, very good. Before we discuss Crawley last night and the game, Let's go back a few days to our away trip to Bolton Wanderers. Now, okay, it seems like an age ago now, following last night's game, but what was your thoughts following the game? Let's go to you, Stuart. What did you think straight after that match?
I mean, look, naturally, I was disappointed because I was disappointed with the performance overall. I suppose I know we're going to touch on it in a bit about the manager as well. I'm a great supporter of Ross. Would love to see him there for quite a long time. My only criticism, and I think it stood out like a sore thumb maybe on Saturday, is sometimes it's horses for courses and we seem to be too rigid in our 4-3-3 without a lot of kind of movement outside of that. I know Josh Coulson went up front for the last 2 minutes, but in all fairness, at that point, was the game gone? Quite possibly. So I think sometimes, and we've seen it quite a bit this year, and I back Ross completely, and Ross will tell me why I'm probably wrong, and I get that, and at the end of the day, he's the manager, I'm not. But in a game like that, that I think we could have gone on and won, if maybe 4-3-3 wasn't the right formation to use in that game. And I think that's what's probably disappointed me the most in that. I go back a bit to the days that, like, you'll know, Glenn, of Peter Eustace as an example. He got to a point where he was very horses for courses in games, and he would change his formation or his lineup according to matching up sometimes against the opponent. And that's why probably 9 times out of 10 we were quite successful. Now, the only thing I would do, going back to Ross and the 4-3-3, they may look at it and think playing a 4-3-3 formation is you will win more games than you will lose, and you will win more than you would draw as a result of playing any other formation. Whether that gets you promotion or not is another thing, though.
Yeah, agree with you there, mate. Before we go on to tactics and Ross, because we will come on to that later, I made a few notes following the game. I just made 5 little notes about the team performance, not the management or coaching, but what I saw from that game on Saturday, and I put down there was no urgency anywhere across the pitch. There was a point in, I think it was the second half, the ball went out on the left-hand side and Connor Wilkinson was there, and we had a runner, I forget who it was, who'd gone past the fullback, and if he would have just rushed and got the ball, we would have been in behind him, you know, and it would have created an opportunity. But that's just one highlight, but it was across the pitch. There was no urgency whatsoever. The other thing I've got down is we had no attacking threat. No attacking threat whatsoever in that game, which was really disappointing. I thought we were shaky at the back. I'm not blaming Mr. Coulson, who's come in, because he's been out for a while. I just thought, as a four, I thought we looked very shaky at the back. I thought we were sloppy in possession. Too many passes didn't get to their destination. And the biggest thing for me in a game like that, when before we go 2-0 down, there was no leaders on the pitch. I know Joby was on there, and he was probably trying his hardest, but there was not. From what I could see, there was no leaders on that pitch. And in League Two, you need two or three in your team. Because when one's having a bad game, you need the others to step up and rally around all the other players and get them going. So, Lee, following what I've just said, anything you disagree with?
No, I agree with all of it, Glenn. Especially that last bit. I mean, I think we've mentioned before that, like, decisions and all that, we just sort of stand there and take everything. We don't seem to motivate each other. Like you said, Joby's fantastic leader, fantastic example. But on the pitch, yeah, there is no... He said, no, there's no urgency. Especially Saturday. I mean, it was so disappointing because we all thought we'd go up there and get a result. And it was just like a whimper, weren't it? It was nothing. It was just lackluster. I can't really think of the words to describe how bad it was.
I think, Glenn, when you look at it as well, is when Joby and Craig Clay are both on it in the same game and we play quicker, we play with a bit more pace. In actual fact, there ain't actually a lot of teams that can cope with that because of their experience. If those two are slightly off it, and it happens, let's be honest, it happens with every football team, I think that we do struggle quite a bit, and certainly then in midfield, and like you say, whether it's a screen for the back four or moving forward up front further forward, is that if those two are not quite on it, and it happens, let's be honest, it does happen, and it's going to happen between now and the end of the season, is that's when we slightly struggle. And I think you were spot on. We didn't have any real urgency on Saturday. It was all very kind of slow. Gave Bolton the opportunity to get back in and set themselves back up to obviously defend any opportunities that there could have been. And like you say, I think unfortunately the top three actually just weren't at the races either.
Yeah, looking at the games throughout the season, we've sort of, when we've been that inconsistent, we've had a good first half and then we've had a bad second half, or not a very good first half, but we've done better in the second half. So we always have a fairly decent half or a 20-30 minute spell in a game. I fully expected after half time on Saturday, I thought there may have been a slight sort of change with formation, which we'll come on to, or looking at how Bolton had set up. But I just thought they just cannot go out and play the same way in that second half as they did in the first. How badly I was wrong. I fully didn't expect that result whatsoever. So yeah, that was it. And then obviously the social media blew up on Saturday night, supporters sharing their frustrations with the players and the management, which is understandable. Can't blame them for that. But we got through that. Obviously, there was a signing or two that came in following sort of, well, obviously, who's a centre-half? Thompson, he was named just before the kick-off Saturday, but obviously wasn't eligible to play. But we got a couple of signings in available for Crawley last night. So let's go into last night's game. Crawley away, before the game, what was your feelings? Because so many people kept saying, we've never beat Crawley, we've never beat Crawley. After Saturday, the way we played, we can't see us sort of getting any kind of result tonight. Well, what was your feeling and your thinking behind before the game, Lynn?
Well, I mean, as you know, Glenn, it's, sometimes you pick us to win and we get turned over. You just never know what team's going to... what Orient team's going to turn up on the day. I mean, yeah, we've got this Crawley thing, but I say that them stats are going to change one day, aren't they? You're always going to. You look at the team that was put out, and you thought, so, well, if we don't get something out of this game with this team, then we're really going to struggle for the rest of the season. But I don't know. Like, I was happy with the team he put out, to be truthful.
Yeah, a few changes in there. Obviously, we had nearly all of the new signings in the starting 11. What did you think, Stu, before the game going into it?
I think we might probably touched on it earlier in the day yesterday about when we were predicting what the score might be. I didn't actually fancy us to lose last night. I was quite positive that we would get something for it. I guess as the game panned out, you kind of changed your thinking a little bit after the sending off and would we actually hold on? But in actual fact, I'm quite positive that we deserved the point as an absolute minimum. I know we didn't create much in the second half, backs against the wall and all that, but to be fair, had you have asked me before the game if those scenarios were going to happen, I'd have taken the point all day long.
Yeah, well, we'll go into the game, right? So first, what was it? 2 minutes, we concede the penalty. I couldn't see anything wrong with it at first glance. When I look back, there was a nudge and it was a pen. In my eyes, it was a pen. I don't think many of the players sort of disputed it. Fortunately, the guys missed the penalty. But from that moment on, with the team, they're completely different attitude compared to Saturday's lackluster performance. There was lots of... Do you know what? There was lots of energy about the team, which I love. There was a lot more movement in the sort of the midfielders and the front three, if you want to call them that. They were sort of moving, not staying in their one designated area of the pitch. They were sort of Connor Wilkinson and Dan Kemp were coming inside, opening up space for overlaps and for midfield runners to go in behind. There was a lot more movement, which caused Crawley, their defenders, they were all over the place at times. And it really helped us. I thought we got a lot more crosses into the box, probably more than I've seen in a long time in a game from sort of open play. Our passing was crisp and fast and to feet. I thought Ruel up front, he was completely different to how he was Saturday. I thought he looked lively. I just thought this game is here for the taking. I thought I can see us going on and probably winning this 2 or 3 the way Crawley were playing and the way we were. I thought this game's here for the taking. And my star man up to the 30th minute was Hector. I thought that was his best 30 minutes I've ever seen him play in the first team. I just thought he was superb. Comparing him to Cisse, when he gets the ball and he gets on the half turn, he drives forward. And why he's doing that, the opposition and our midfielders and forwards are moving, sort of getting into areas. It opened the game up. And I thought the difference between him and Cisse was sort of like chalk and cheese. I thought he had such a good opening 30 minutes. And then he goes and gets himself sent off, you know what I mean? And then the game changes. And then it's damage limitation almost in your mind. We can't lose this game.
No, and I think
how do you think Hector played up to that point?
I thought Hector actually was really, really good. He was moving the ball quickly, which is what we obviously spoke about just then. So, and it was something we needed to do. So we needed to get the ball forward quicker, which he was doing. I always look at these sending offs, and when you look back at them, and I think at any time when a ball runs away from a player, and as soon as he goes in that manner, which in all fairness to Hector, I don't think there was any malice in it whatsoever, but you always put yourself in an incredibly vulnerable position when you go in like that, because that's the modern game. Back 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, it probably would have been a yellow card or a slap on the wrist and that was it. But the game's changed. And any time you see any players go in like that now, it's automatically gives the reason the referee to get the red card out. And he was pretty quick, to be fair, in getting it out. I know there was lots of talk about the amount of Crawley players that surrounded him and tried to influence his decision. And I get that and I understand that he would have made that decision, I think, anyway.
Yeah, I thought prior to him getting himself in that situation, as the ball's come to him, he was so good all night at opening his body up and taking it on his back foot and changing direction. When the ball got played into him, he saw the man over his left shoulder come in, and Hector being Hector tried to get his body in front of the man and the ball, and he's obviously looking at that and the ball's got away from him. I've looked at it probably 10 times today, and I think it's a really harsh sending off, because I understand what you're saying, 15, 10 years ago, slap on the wrist. As the ball's gone, as he's gone in, he's not gone with his studs up, he's sort of got a bit of an open foot, but as he's made contact, his heel and his studs are in the ground and they're not caught the player. If anything, it was his shin that's clattered into the player. But like you say, the players have got round him, the momentum he's gone in at, the pace he's gone in at, he's given the referee, and we know what the referee was like last night, he's given him a bit of an easy decision to make. What was your take on it, Lee?
I agree with you, Glenn. I think it was a harsh sending off. I think the sending off itself was influenced by the Crawley players. Yes, he shouldn't have gone in. I think he knew he was having a fantastic game and he got a bit overconfident, wanted to win that ball, and a bit more experience, he'd have stayed on his feet. But I think he was unlucky to get sent off from it. Like, I really do. But you're saying about Kipriano, I thought Sartorio's, I thought that was the best game I've seen him play up until he got injured. I thought he looked outstanding yesterday.
Do you know what I thought compared to Saturday's game with him? Because, like I said about Wilkinson and Kemp, they were coming in off the wings and they were coming more central, which allowed Sartorio to sort of drop a bit deep and get more involved. He wasn't like Saturday, it was almost like he was playing that Danny Johnson role where he was up front, he was against two honey monsters against Bolton, ball was coming up, he was getting bullied, pushed off the ball, and it was easy for him Saturday. I just think with the movement of the two wider players coming more central, it just gave him that bit of freedom to drop off and pick the ball up in that sort of number 10 position. I totally agree with you. I thought he was superb, and it was such a shame for him to pick up the hamstring injury. Whether it was a knee in the back of the hamstring or it was a pull, we don't know. But such a shame, because he was just coming back to that form that we saw a bit last season. So, yeah, a big shame. But we're going at half-time 0-0. Obviously, going, Ross has had a chat with the guys, and they've come up and set up in the second half. And from what I could see on the stream, we set up with four defenders, and we set up with a bank of five and nobody up front. I don't know if you saw that or not. It just looked like we set up, and I thought, that's dangerous. You're inviting pressure there. But in Ross's eyes, he's obviously thought, we'll let their defence have the ball. We'll let them try and break us down. And it worked. And it worked. And when we got the ball, then we looked to hit them on the break, and we got a few chances from it. But we set up with no forwards at all. We set up with five across the middle. But what was your thoughts on that?
Oh, I tend to agree with you, Glenn, on that, because Connor stayed out actually quite wide and Tristan was protecting Brophy at left back. So we didn't have a lot going forward, and I think it was more if we could hit him on the counter, then we would, and like we did, had a couple of opportunities with Tristan and then also the Freeman chance as well with a shot that was a great save by Glenn Morris. But I'll probably tell you now, if Crawley were still there now, they probably wouldn't have scored last night, to be fair. Which has happened, you know, we've watched Orient quite a bit, and you think sometimes we'll still be here tomorrow and we won't score in games, and it goes like that. And I think last night was a prime example that the way we set up in the second half was not to lose the game. It worked. We battled. We done everything that we didn't do against Bolton, which was great to see. And like I say to you, they would have still been there now trying to score, and they wouldn't have scored.
I think the thing is as well, Glenn, sorry.
Yeah, sorry,
go on. No, the thing is, well, we had a bit of pace in our team yesterday, didn't we? We had Abrahams, Brophy, Freeman, Wilkinson. They've all got a bit of pace. So we could defend, we could do that defensive deeper and as a unit and look for that breakaway, like, because we had that pace to go. All right, it we never got the goal, but that was the option. I thought we defended superbly in that second half.
Yeah, no, we did. And What I was impressed with, you've mentioned it about a work rate there. On Saturday, there was a couple of instances where we had players, defenders and midfielders, when we were sort of on the attack Saturday, they bust the gut to get forward. Right? They may not have got the ball, but they bust the gut to get forward. As soon as there was a changeover in play, and we were then going back towards our own goal, those same players didn't sprint back with the same intensity that they did when they were going forward. So you've got to ask questions there. So in my eyes, they're looking for the glory to get forward and get a goal, but when it's time to defend, they wasn't asked, you know, they wasn't trying to get back to stop a goal because they didn't find it as important, which worried me Saturday. But last night, every single player, as soon as Crawley were on the attack, you could see him sprinting all over the pitch. There was a few tackles where I sort of turned my head out and I'm thinking, oh, slippery pitch and this ref, there could be another sending off here if something's just missed time. But I just thought the work rate, the effort, the determination of every single player on that pitch was absolutely first class. And they deserved to come away with that point. I thought they could have got the three, but I think they fully deserved that point they come away with.
Do you know what, Glenn? There's one thing I noticed last night that I haven't seen a lot in the last few games, is with Tunji. Tunji runs with the ball, brings the ball out of defence, gets to the halfway line, and then recently he's been going either out to Ling or back to Happy. It's like he stops and then goes back or sideways. Yesterday he had so much movement in front of him, he was in putting them balls through. He was in going through. It looked like I said, the last few weeks, it looked like there was nothing in front of him to pass to. So he's going so far and thinking, well, I'm not just going to lump it forward. I'm going to keep hold of it and we'll start again. But yesterday, you could see he had that movement going in front of him. And so he was running forward and he's laying the ball off in front. And of course, that's what you want. That's what you need. If your defenders are coming out, you need them to be laying a forward ball, not going backwards.
I totally agree. I think over the last few months, even, forget the last couple of games, there's been instances where our defenders are looking to pass into the middle of the pitch or looking forward and there's no movement at all. It's too static. And I've said it when I've been on the Orient live on the stream, and I just think we're too static. And what do you want to do? You either give the ball away, you pump it into an area of the pitch to get yourself up the pitch, or you try and keep the ball, and they do try and keep the ball. And I think that's possibly one of the reasons why our possession stats over the season are so high. It's good that we keep the ball and we like to play, but a lot of the time there's also no one to pass to, so you've got to keep the ball. So I think them stats could be a bit sort of a bit skewed, you know?
Yeah, probably a bit misleading in actual fact. So it's like anything with the stats, though, isn't it, on possession? You can have 95% possession, but if you don't score, you don't win the game. And probably in more than half of our games this year, we've had a lot more possession than the other sides. But what we haven't then done is kicked on and won the game. You know, we might have got it 1-0 or 2-0, but we don't then kick on, do we? And I think that that's happened a lot. That literally you get to like a dead end and turn around, like Lee was saying, and you go back to Ling, you go out to Brophy, or you know, go back to Happ if it was Tunji that had the ball. Whereas actually last night, in actual fact, is that there was an outlet with Freeman, and it allowed Freeman to carry the ball, which he's actually very, very good at doing, up the pitch, which then kind of like gave options as well. So a lot of credit would go to him for last night, as well as Kemp, because Kemp's obviously come in a bit unsettled, not had many minutes with obviously the situation, but came in last night in what turned out to be difficult circumstances, if you like, and actually then held the ball up very, very well and kept it and moved with it as well.
Yeah, totally agree. We've had a few questions on the message boards and on Twitter and stuff. I'm just going to read one out now. It was from Oh My Gould on... Is it Oh My Gould on the forums? He says, what does the panel think about the new boys who have come in, and how do you think they played last night? Let's start with Freeman. What do we think about Freeman as a player, what he can bring to the team, and how he performed last night?
Look, the guy wasn't obviously getting minutes at Wickham, but he's had promotions with Wickham from what, League 2 and League 1 into the Championship. I think it's a very, very astute signing. Very, very good. And he's probably what we were probably missing, and may in the actual longer term help the fact that Joby, bless him, shouldn't be playing maybe Saturday, Tuesday every week. And he's someone that can slot into that position. And we'll allow even Joby to be freed up a bit more as well, or rested when he needs to be. So I think he's a very, very good signing with good experience of League 2 and League 1, which I think is what we were probably crying out for.
Yeah, what do you think, Lee?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ross touched on it last night in his interview. The engine he's got in his running is phenomenal. I mean, he just don't seem to stop running. And like Stu just said, he keeps the ball. He runs with the ball. He don't seem to lose the ball. Yeah, very delighted. You know, like you said, he's definitely brought something we desperately need to the team.
Yeah, I just think, like everyone said, he can run. He's fit. He runs with the ball. He keeps possession. I thought his passing was very good. But what impressed me more than anything last night, especially in that first 30 minutes, was when he, without the ball, his movement creating space for others to run into was superb. He was dragging people out of, like, Crawley players out of an area in which we sort of got a player in behind and into that space so we could pass in. So not only is he very, very good on the ball, I just think he's a very intelligent player as well, and he knows what's going on around him, which... If you had 11 of them in your side, you'd be well beaters, you know what I mean? I thought he was very good. I think the loan will be really good for him and hopefully for the club. And then come the end of the season, has he got another year at Wickham? Do we know that, or is he out of contract?
I'm not sure. Not sure. I thought he might have been out of contract, so it was important for him to get minutes, because he probably wouldn't have got those minutes in the Championship that he really needed. So to me, it's our benefit, it's our gain.
Yeah, well, let's hope he does well and he enjoys being at the club and around the squad, and there's some kind of deal sort of in the summer to have with him, bring him in on a permanent sort of basis, although we are a bit premature here because He's had a good half last night, or a good game last night. He may have a terrible rest of the season. But I think, judging him last night, I think he'll be a good one for next season, certainly. Let's move on to Dan Kemp. I thought last night was his best display so far. Obviously, he's had a couple of games or half games. I thought last night he was so energetic. His movement was good. When we went down to 10 men, he was dogged, and I didn't expect that for him because he's tiny, isn't he? He was putting himself about. He was throwing himself into tackles. He was really fighting for the calls last night. But, and then when he got on the ball, he's nice and tidy. I think he's very nice and tidy in a tight area. He passes the ball well, and he's not scared to cross with his right or left foot. What do you think of Kemp?
I think, again, a very good signing. He's been playing regularly on loan with Blackpool in League One. So he's obviously come back south and has got a permanent deal with Orient, so it suits both parties. But he's, again, another one, a bit like Freeman, was that he could actually hold on to the ball. He never rushed with it to look to get rid of it as quickly as he could. He was very composed. And I hope we see a lot more of it, to be brutally honest, because I think we need people like that, that have got that bit of class about them, that can hold it and know when to release it, as well as obviously do the ugly stuff when you need to, which was great to see last night, to be fair.
Yeah. Kemp's that sort of player, like you just said, who likes to keep the ball, likes to play the ball. He's not going to get on the wing, attack the full-backs and look to get crosses in. He's not strong enough. He's not big enough. What he is, he's very, very good with the ball. He holds the ball well. And playing in that position where he's playing on the left of the front three, it can give him a bit of freedom for him to move into. He can move in. He can have, like, Brophy overlapping him. And he can hold the ball, like I said, he holds the ball well and brings others in. So, yeah, another good signing by Ross.
Yeah, he's another one who's very intelligent. Obviously, he's had a good upbringing at West Ham, and when he's been out on loan, he's experienced different management styles and coaches. I just think he's intelligent as well. And like you say, Lee, his movement, sort of bringing others into the game, you know, and creating space, a bit like Freeman. I thought he was spot on. I thought the real standout one for me last night was Adam Thompson. I thought he came into the back. We spoke about no leaders on Saturday on the pitch at Bolton. I thought he came in and he reminded me of a traditional centre half who kicks it, heads it and defends his goal, you know. You didn't really get to see him on the ball as much as we probably would see our centre-halves in previous games. But I think he is ideal. I think he is an absolute top signing and one that the team needs, you know. And I think the board and the management have done really well getting him in. What I could see last night, and you probably saw it, he's a real good motivator on the pitch. Sort of cheering all the boys around him, sort of high-fiving, clapping them, sort of giving them encouragement. I thought he was superb. What did you think?
I thought to start with, when he got that early booking or that booking, I think there's a couple of fouls and he got booking. I thought, oh, is he going to get too tired in this game? Is he going, especially when Hector got sent off, I thought, is he going to get too tired? Is he going to mistime a tackle and all that? But as the game went on, you just see what a great professional he is, and that, like you said, what a motivator he was, and he didn't put a foot wrong and never threw himself into nothing. He just kept going, and like I said, that's what we've been looking for, is someone who can play at another level, play at a higher level, but he's got so much composure and so much experience, and yeah, he's definitely brought that in.
I think, again, it's of benefit to us and the player, because he's a local lad and wanted to move back down here. He was very, very good for Southend a few years ago, but was unfortunate to be part of the Phil Brown era, of which a number of the players that were there at that time struggled with Phil Brown. So moved on to Bury, got promotion with Bury, obviously had all the unfortunate situation at Bury with their financial dealings, so moved on to Rotherham. So has moved around a little bit in the last kind of 3 or 4 years. But I think, like you say, Glenn, he is one of those traditional old-fashioned centre-halves, and like Lee said, is he got he if you like put one on the centre-forward pretty early in the game to let him know he was there, and to kind of say, I'm here, don't you worry about it, and I ain't going anywhere. Picked up the booking, which, yeah, if you like, was unfortunate, but they knew that he was there and that he was, you know, a dominating force in the game. And I'm not saying that we haven't had that with Josh Coulson or Dan Hatt or Tunji, but he was just something, to me, he was like, that's what you need, that rock at the back that is solid, that has got a bit of pace about him as well.
Do you know what, bro? What I noticed last night with him, he's not scared of attacking the ball in the air. I think he's that sort of player. You get some players who love heading the ball. That's what they love. A centre-half, you get that player who says, right, that, I want the ball to go in the air because I want to go and head this ball because I know 9 times out of 10 I'm going to win it. He absolutely loves it. He loves an aerial battle. The only thing I could question him last night, and this is me nitpicking, was there was a couple of occasions, probably two in the game, where he's run 20 yards forward to go and head the ball when there was mid standing under it, and two of them have jumped for the same ball. Whether it was nerves and he just wants to prove himself that I'm going to go and attack this, or he's called for it and the people in front of him have not heard him. They might not know his name yet, but they've not heard him, got out of the way. But there was two occasions where he's gone for balls where I don't think he should have gone because we already had somebody there and it could have caused a bit of problems. But that's me nitpicking, but I think that could have come down to just being eagerness or a bit of nerves on his first game, you know. But other than that, I think he is an absolute quality signing. And someone was badly needed, you know. Let's move on to Tristan Adams. Obviously, you guys know him from before. He came on just before half-time when Rell went off. Obviously, got a few minutes. Half-time comes. Second half, he comes out and he's being asked to play. I think he was asked to play left midfield to protect Brophy.
Yep.
Now, I really felt sorry for him. I said, but he worked his socks off up and down that left because most of their attack come down their right-hand side, our left. And he worked his socks off backwards and forwards to protect Brophy, to help the midfield and the back four out. And then when we did get the opportunity to get ball forward, he had to sprint off in the other direction. And I don't know how much he's played at Newport in the last sort of month or so, but he certainly worked hard last night.
Yeah, I don't think you can knock his work rate at all last night. And again, like you say, I don't actually think he's played a lot in the last month, but that doesn't seem to affect a lot of players these days, is they can kind of switch on pretty quick and naturally fit these days to obviously come straight in and play. Look, in an ideal situation, he'd have been up top, wouldn't he, and causing a bit of trouble up top, like he did, in all fairness, when he came on against us earlier in the season at our place and put Dan Happy in a little bit of an awkward situation where we got a free kick, but he scored when he came on that was disallowed. And I think that's something we didn't see from him necessarily when he was here at the first time, which again was incredibly difficult circumstances for all of that team and squad at that time. And maybe the move away benefited everybody at that time, and he's come back because, like he says, he's got unfinished business. I like him. I like, you know, he's got a bit of attitude about him as well. He's kind of quite hungry. And if we see him up top, whether it's on the left-hand side of Danny Johnson in games, I don't think, you know, we can complain. And you will get the work rate and the effort out of him. And the kid wants to score, so that can't be a bad thing.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think that's another top signing the club have made sort of before the windows close, because looking at our injury list, we've got DJ out, we've got Angol out, and then Ruel got injured last night. There's no other forwards, are there? Going into Saturday's game, if you're looking at all the others, take Connor Wilkinson out of there, but there's no other sort of natural forwards I can't see starting up top. So I fully expect him to start down the middle on Saturday. What do you think, Lee?
Yeah, I agree. I think he'll start down the middle. It's a good signing at the right time, really. But like Stu just said, he's a hungry player. He's got something to prove. Well, more to himself than not to us. But I think in a front three up front, he could do well holding the ball up and a big strong lad.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, I know we were going to talk about tactics, but you know, he may be better off in a two up top with someone like Danny Johnson, or if it's Connor Wilkinson or whoever it is, because he's probably used to playing more in a 4-4-2. But players have to be adaptable now, don't they? So if he's on the left-hand side of a three up top, like we've both said, then I think, you know, he's going to be fine in that as well, because at the end of the day, he's one of those players that he wants to score, he wants to do well. And I think it is a very, very clever signing, to be honest, especially with Angle being out injured and Danny Johnson's been out now for a few weeks, and we couldn't afford to have any more injuries without having backup players to come in. So I think it's a very, very good signing at the right time, like Lee says. And I don't know how many others that you could have signed that would have made an impact or someone that you're familiar with that would have got you goals necessarily.
I think the thing is, as well, Glenn, with Thompson, Kemp and Abrahams, they've all come from, up north, two of them, and Newport, obviously, but they're all local lads. So they're not going to be wasting time trying to settle into the area and what it's all about. They know the area, they know London. So, again, I think the fact that they've come back down to where they live is going to be beneficial as well.
I think that's our transfer committee, or whatever they call themselves, who have weekly meetings. I think that's one of the big sort of tick boxes on their list is local players, because you're looking at when you sign players, if you're signing players from up north, you've got that risk that they won't settle in the area, like you say. But also, the club has to pay relocation fees, you know? So that's additional money that they've got to spend. So if you're getting players who are from in and around the area, they've normally got a base around there, parents or a property from earlier on in their career. I think that's one of the key things that the transfer committee are looking like when they're identifying players. Let's go on to DJ. There was news last night from Ross that he's running. He's back in training. He's running. He's been doing bike work. I actually spoke to him at the Forest Green game the other Saturday, sort of, at half time, and I asked him about the injury, and it's all a bit hush hush. No one's actually come out and said what the problem is. All he could tell me was it's an odd injury. It's not ligament damage. It's something different. So I think that's why when Ross has been questioned on it, he's been a bit cautious with it, because he probably doesn't want to say the wrong thing, because it is a strange injury. And I believe he had an injection in that area a few days back as well. And I just think that they're trying to be so careful with him, because they don't want to say, yeah, he'll be back next week. Because with a ligament injury, you can say, right, this is a timeline, this is a treatment. With this odd injury he's got in his knee, I don't think they can. They just need to see how he's going to respond. But from listening to Ross last night, he said there's an outside chance that he could be included Saturday in the squad. Me personally, I think that's probably a bit soon. It would be lovely to have him back, but do you think he would be up to speed if he came back in on Saturday?
We just touched on it. I think nowadays players could be out for 2 or 3 months and then can come back pretty quickly because of what work they're doing during the week. It's not like back in the day where players were having 3 or 4 reserve games before they came back into the first team. So I think he could come back in. I think he wouldn't have any trouble coming back in and playing. I just wouldn't be so sure that he would be ready. And especially when you think after Saturday, I think we've got Carlisle away, haven't we, on Tuesday, which is a slap of a journey. So maybe there'll be some thought about maybe bringing him back the Saturday after, maybe if they're trying to be sensible about it. But if he's ready, and he says he's ready, and he thinks he's ready, then I'd have no, problem with him being back on Saturday.
Okay, I agree.
Sorry, Lee, I just had a look at the clock, and we're obviously we've got so much to get through, and we're running out of time a bit, so we'll probably have to scrap a few topics we were going to discuss. But I'm just going to read out a question we had from Story of O on the Twitter. Is 4-3-3 the best formation for the players we have? But also, I know, Lee, you've got something you want to say regarding Brophy left back, left midfield. So do you want to let us know your findings on that?
Yeah, I don't personally like 4-3-3, but I think that's the best formation for the players we've got. The myth of Brophy being the superstar winger that we've dropped him back into defence and we shouldn't be is crazy from where I'm sitting. Like I said, I look back on his stats. The first season we got promoted, 54 games we played, he started 24 and got subbed in 8 as a left winger, left midfield. Next season, 43 games, 29 started, 4 sub. That was a left winger. This season, he started 31 games, 27, and he's only been subbed 3 times. When he's playing on the left midfield, because he's so one-footed, he gets pushed inside all the time by the good defenders. They push him inside because they know he can't do nothing and he's got no one overlapping him. All right? James Brophy, as a left winger, is no Dean Cox or Alan Comfort when it comes to goals or assists. When he's coming from deep, he opens up the play so much. He runs, he can run with the ball. The more space he's got, the better he gets, the faster he gets. And he runs at players from deep. He opens up play. All right. We've not took advantage of it so much this season. But hopefully, like with the new midfielders and Kemp and all that, we'll see a lot more. But that's what Brophy does. And he's spent more of his career playing as that left back than he has as a left winger. So this myth that all of a sudden's appeared that we can't do without him as a left winger, I don't get, because like I said, the stats for the last 2 years shows that he wasn't playing. He was playing probably a bit part, and not the full season.
Well, when he got moved to left midfield on Saturday, he immediately scored an own goal. So that backs up your stats. No, interesting, that Lee.
I always liked him at left midfield because of his pace, and like Lee touched on. When you had the likes of Alan Comfort, who could just do anything, if you like, and someone growing up at the time that, you know, had a big influence on you, he isn't that kind of player. And I think now, over the last probably 6 or 7 weeks back at left back, if you actually look at his distribution and his passing, it's improved so much. And he will complete a pass more than he will give a pass away,
I think as well, if you've got Kemp playing on that left side, like we just said now, Kemp will hold that ball up, he'll bring others in. That gives Brophy the opportunity to run, to overlap Kemp, or to come on the inside of Kemp. And like I said, that's what he does well. When he's running from deeper, he looks so much more threatening than when he's getting the ball and he's got the defender on him and then he's got to start moving if he's left wing.
Yeah, and he's also, when he plays left back, he's got that added bonus of his pace, you know.
Yeah.
It showed last night of just getting others out of a bit of trouble or catching up with a winger, you know. So, yeah, it's. I understand what you're saying. There'll be a lot of people out there, no doubt, Lee, who disagree with what you're saying. Let's move on to the manager. He's been under fire in recent weeks by a selection of the supporters because of the results and the performances. Very quickly, how do you see his situation at the moment? Are you happy or are you angry?
Has he won more games than he's lost?
You tell me.
That's one question. Has he won more than he's lost? I think you'll find he's won more than he's lost. So, yes, he's coming under criticism. And like I touched on it earlier, playing the formation he plays, he probably wins just about a few more than he loses. Right? But he's won more than he's lost. So if you're in a position where your win rate is higher than your lose rate, then that backs it up that he's kind of the right man for the job. Whether he can kick you on to get you promotion, I don't know.
The one thing I said from the start, I mean, I thought Ross was the right choice. The one thing I said from the start was that I will judge him once he started get his own players in, once he's got his own players. I think last night he had eight of his own players. And you can see how well we played last night. I think he's the right man. I think with his own players in, if he's given the space by the owners and director of football and all that, I think he's the right man going forward, Jess.
Do you know what, right? I don't know if he's mentioned it himself, but the board certainly mentioned it, that he had targets of where... Well, the directors have given him targets of... They wanted to improve on last season's position, right? Now, they've been doing quite well. They're just outside the playoffs. Do you think that he has gone to them and said, look, I need these players to push on? And do you think... They've gone out and backed him and got the players, but they've raised them targets. Do you think them targets could have changed? Or do you think he's gone in there and said, to meet the original target you've given me, you need to get me these players? Do you think them targets could have changed? Because we've been so high or further up the league than probably anticipated.
Well, I think we're running out of time, Glenn. So I think we've only probably got about 20 seconds left. But I would say that jointly in their committee, they found players that they want, that they all agree on. It's not one person necessarily saying, I want those people. I think it's a joint effort and some targets will move on elsewhere and they'll lose some. But in the main, I think they've got who they wanted.
Brilliant. Win or lose Saturday against Colchester?
Win.
Win.
I'm going to say a draw because whenever I say a win, we lose. So I'll say a draw. Thank you, everyone, for listening to tonight's Orient Hour. Remember, you can pick up a match pass through the club's website for Saturday's game against Colchester. Thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you, Lee. Thanks, Stuart. And thank you, Andy, for doing the button.
In every corner of the ground, you can get your kids in just £5. Get an Orienteer, it's only a quid. Get a cup of tea, but there ain't no lids because it's an up to pop. Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10. Irate, we were club reviver, but we don't care. We had checkered shirts, we had Chris Tate's hair. I remember the moment the league still scored. I remember it's done on the message board. I remember the pleasure, I remember the pain, and I want to hear rocking all over the world again. This ain't Upton Park, it's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. This is St. Arts and Pub, it's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10. This is E10, and you're going.